Welcome to Ugeria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ugeria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ugeria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ugeria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass in Atlanta, Georgia. Joining me today is Lee Cantor, our producer for our show. Good morning, Lee. How are you?
I am doing great. Sam, how are you? It looks like summer is approaching the end here.
I don't know. I can assure you that the weather today is vastly improved than what it's been over the last couple of weeks. We are out of the 90-degree mark.
Don't you miss that? I miss it already.
I don't miss it. I'm sorry. I can't say that I do. Also joining us today is Brad Culp in Dallas, Texas. Brad, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
So, Sam, are you feeling a little bit out of sorts now with one of your children out of the nest?
You're going to make him cry.
You did that on purpose. You know better than that. Yes, I am. I have to admit that I was not prepared for the heartache that I felt the day after she left.
You know, it's funny. One of my other friends, a guy that you know, Sam, is 3 years younger than me, and his first daughter just left for college, and it was somewhat gratifying for me to be able to look at him and say, yeah, you know, kids in college, those are the older guys, and of course, tongue in cheek because he's 3 years younger.
Well, let me assure you, sport, you tie him on tight because next year you're facing the same dilemma.
You're right. We're doing the college visit thing. Let's get into it this morning. We've got a whole bunch of useless trivia. I'm not going to go over it all, but it is really useless today, and it doesn't tie to the show at all. So there you go. So don't even ask.
That's normal.
Yeah, well. So 1897, the first underground transit in the U.S. opens when the Boston subway system opens. So how about that, 113 years ago. 1972, Bobby Fischer beats Boris Spassky to become the world chess champion in Iceland. I think that may have been the first time that somebody from the U.S. beat somebody from Russia in a world championship. And one of my favorites here, 1974, the SRS-7 Blackbird sets and still holds today a world record for flying from New York to London in an hour and 54 minutes. Amazing that that record is still held today, although it has to take off and land, which is an issue with the sonic booms and all that in a metropolitan area. So maybe that's why it hasn't been reset. Oh, and here's my favorite one. Today, September 1, and this was actually on Wikipedia as a piece of trivia, today is the earliest day that Labor Day can possibly, today, September 1, is the first day that Labor Day could possibly fall on any given year. And I've got a big duh on that, you know, so it's, since it's the first Monday of the month, every 7 years, you get Labor Day on September 1st.
Okay, so. Now move over to the interview.
You know, you're not giving me a chance here. Do you want to run the show or what? Okay, so that's exactly where I was going. We've got a full house today. We've got four guests, three in Atlanta, one in Dallas. In Atlanta, we have Julie Vickers and Wayman Parks from Sunrise and Dunwoody. They share the title of Director of Community Relations. We also have Brian Baker from Cornerstone Medical in Atlanta. He is also Director of Community Resources. And here in Dallas, we have Greg Gerendis. Greg is the Executive Director of Senior Adult Services. So we are going to start in Dallas this morning with Greg Gerendis. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here with us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
We are going to just start out with asking you a little bit about your background, where you're from, where you went to school, and how did you come to be at Senior Adult Services?
All exciting, almost as exciting as the trivia we just shared. I have lived in Dallas since 1986. The Texans all say I wasn't born here. I got here as quick as I could. I'm approaching my 63rd birthday. What I always tell people is, even though I look like I'm 35, I qualify for my own services. So we take care of older adults in the four city area: Addison, Carrollton, Coppell, and Farmers Branch. That's that area is called the Metrocrest, on the cusp of Dallas. I've been here for a couple years now. I've been in the nonprofit world for over 30 years. I'm also a Lutheran pastor, so I've been taking care of older adults as ministry to churches has been to a group of people that's gotten older and grayer as we speak. Our tagline is, however, old age runs in every family. Just in case some of you are not my age, sooner or later we're going to get you.
Sooner or later.
Sooner or later. We have what is a real unique service. We offer what is we would call one-stop shopping for older adults. They can come to us and get information, referral, transportation, case management, meals, friendly visitors. We have a massive home repair effort, and we're finding that anything that we can do to keep people living independently longer is a huge value to the community and a tremendous benefit to the people involved.
Mm. Now, how big is the service area that you have? You've got the four city area. How many seniors are you serving?
That's 23,000 right now, and in the next 3 years that should grow to 31,000. Remember, the baby boomers retire, the first group of them, in 2011. That's next year. So that onslaught of baby boomers is going to continue to make areas really grow even faster. You know, one of the interesting things is, speaking of trivia, the number of centenarians is, in the United States, some over 100,000 people. And in the next 3 or 4 years, it's supposed to grow to over 600,000 people who are living to be over 100. So
from 100,000 to 600,000?
Yeah, I mean, that's just an incredible metamorphosis going on in the population.
It's really interesting. In our business, we serve elderly people typically in their 80s and up. These are the people that can't typically stay safely in their home. And it was not too many years ago, a couple of years ago, I think, our oldest resident passed away. And at the time, she was 112.
Oh, my gosh.
And when you think about somebody that could possibly live that long, and you're talking to somebody in their 80s, that's another 30 years.
We all know what the life expectancy is right now for a child born today. Any guesses out there in radio land? 121 is that's the new life insurance tables go up to age 121.
Wow.
So think about what we're going to have to do for resources for caring for people that are going to be.
So the way that we define it today, there's the possibility that somebody lives half their life as a senior citizen.
Very often. And that whole thing is, They picked the 65 as a retirement age in 1935. Obviously outdated. But we have never changed our thinking. You know, we all have this perception, 65, retirement, et cetera. Well, that's just crazy. It isn't going to happen that way. The large number of baby boomers are going to be really surprised at the fact that they have far less financially than they thought they were going to have. They're not going to be able to retire. They're going to be working longer. We had a woman, 80 years old, call the office just a few months ago looking for a job and looking for help with employment. So you got to find employers to hire people, and I would hire older adults in a heartbeat. I mean, they have a great work ethic, and but still, all of the rules are going to change drastically.
Mm. What do you think is going to be the first thing that changes?
The group that you were talking about that are 80 and up, we call the old, the folks that are older adults and really beyond that. They continue to be in need of the services like you all provide and like we continue to provide. But the group of baby boomers, and I'm one of them, I was born in 1948, aren't like the group older adults. that you're used to. We talk too much. We demand things. When somebody says you're going to have to give up your car keys, you know, it's going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight. So the group of seniors that we're talking about is highly interactive, fairly well computer literate. They vote. And are you ready for this? 70% of the world's assets are going to be owned by mature adults as of 2011. It's a problem in Russia, China, the entire world's population has grayed at the same rate and the same percentage of play, and it's going to be just a huge issue to deal with. And China, they only allowed the family to have one child, so there isn't a support system around to take care of that many older adults.
Right. Yeah, one of the statistics that I've seen and used frequently talk publicly is today in any given support system there are 11 people that can help somebody that needs services, mm-hmm. and over the next two decades that 11 dwindles to 4.
Exactly.
And you know, and I gave this presentation last Saturday to a group of family caregivers, and I had one person raise their hand and say, where does that 11 number come from? Because I don't see anywhere close to 11 in my circle. And that's fair. So, you know, it's just going to get worse, obviously.
In our area, some 70% of the clients we serve are widows. Many of them are living alone, have no family left. They've outlived their friends, their family, their children in some cases have predeceased them. So it's easy to see how that support system could get smaller and smaller because they're really isolated.
Yeah.
They're suffering depression. They can't get a whole lot of sympathy for things that are social needs. You know, we run a transportation program for that four-city area, which is just crucial. You know, we are all very social. We come and go as we please. You go shopping, whatever. But it's getting harder and harder to convince funders to provide dollars for transportation for social needs. But that's really a huge issue for keeping people living independently and some quality of life.
Now, how does the transportation system work? Somebody that needs it, how are they eligible and how do they take advantage of it?
60 and over and people with disabilities can call in, and anyone can be a client. It has no income requirement. But we do have case managers that visit everyone, and they review their income, and they'll do the cost of the bus rides on a sliding scale from $1 to $5 a ride. 30% of the rides are medical that we offer. 70% are social, groceries, and all that stuff. And we do 6,000 to 7,000 rides a year.
And do they have to stay within the Metrocrest area?
Generally speaking, we do have some hospitals that are out on the cusp of where we're at. We have some partnerships with other agencies that go, there's an agency that goes from Denton to the hospital in South Dallas every day. And we don't there all that often, but they can swing by our base, pick up a vet, and take a vet into the hospital there. So with partnerships, I'm part of a group that's called the Community Transportation Network that's sponsored by the Area Agency on Aging and the Community Council of Greater Dallas. And we're trying to put together a reservation system for the entire North Texas region so that if you have your own bus and you have people in your area, you can cross over and try to get people able to go different places.
So you mentioned the home repair, you mentioned transportation. Tell us what else Senior Adult Services does.
We have one of the best information referral departments on the planet. There is a phone number in Dallas, so I don't know if Atlanta's got one, a 211 number, which anyone can call. You get information and a referral for senior needs for people with disabilities. But we have that same service, and we have managed to accumulate numbers of people who are in Atlanta, Florida, New York, because they've got people who are living here and they're older adults in other states. So we're able to really kind of put the resources even out of the state. So I think that's the big thing. So we also loan medical equipment when people also wheelchairs, canes, walkers, day chairs, shower chairs, all of that is available on a free basis for a limited amount of time. But our home repair thing keeps people with ramps and grab bars and all that, so the two things kind of dovetail together.
Beautiful. And also Meals on Wheels?
And the Meals program serves about anywhere from 20 to 40 people a day, depending upon. It's not long-term, but it's a hot meal that's prepared at a restaurant that we take hot to the client, and some 60% of those are people that would not have a hot meal if it weren't for our program. The Dallas area Meals on Wheels program and Denton County are all frozen.
Oh, okay.
Microwave meals. That doesn't make them bad, but ours is tastier.
So you're talking from experience,
right.
It sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Greg, a couple of things I want to get to before we let you go this morning. One, I know you've got a fundraiser coming up. I'll let you talk about that. And then also I know you do some other conflict management type stuff. Tell us a little bit about that.
We do. We have a huge golf tournament every year. It's in October the 4th. In this case, it's at River Chase Golf Club in Coppell. It's our biggest fundraiser. We have about $1 million a year budget, so we try to raise about a third of that million with fundraisers, and so somewhere in the neighborhood of 40,000 or 50,000. But that's a full course of players. We do give seniors a break. If you're 16 and over, you can play for $90. Otherwise, it's $150, and we get a great loyal group that sponsor that every year. Excuse me. And really important to all of us. So October the 4th at River Chase, we'd love to have your participation if you're listening. The other thing you asked about was I have another company that I'm involved with called AIM, Aging Issues Mediation. We have six other people that are certified mediators and certified in the area of elder mediation issues. What do you do when you've got a dad that has advanced Alzheimer's, got to give up his keys, and dad doesn't want to, the family doesn't know how to handle it? And the best thing to do is to mediate it, mediate issues that go with end-of-life concerns. And we can do a mediation for $1,500, $2,000 that an attorney is going to charge $8,000 to $10,000 or $12,000 to do, and attorneys don't like to do these. So this is a relatively new service, but it's really going to be popular as more and more people need to deal with family members that are aging and need for the whole family to examine it. And if the family can mediate the issue, the family can stay together instead of arguing about who gets the color TV, So.
Exactly. All right, well, let me ask you, finally, a tip for our listeners. You see a lot, obviously, as the director of senior adult services. You see what situations families find themselves in, particularly older adults, as they kind of lose track of friends and family members. So as someone is seeing their friends, disappear around them, and maybe family members are moving away, what advice can you give to somebody who's in that situation, kind of looking at how do I deal with my final 10, 20 years being, fundamentally alone?
Yeah, I think you've really hit on the main issue. Isolation is probably one of the most not talked about issues for older adults. And our agency and any agency that deals with services for older adults needs to fight the isolation thing. We have a huge volunteer program, for example, 250, 400 people a year, and most of those are seniors. And we even take the seniors on our buses to places to volunteer at our office, volunteer delivering meals, volunteer. And all of this is about the opposite of isolation, is about something that allows a person both to have hope and to do something meaningful and with purpose in their life. And I think that's really the value here. If you can keep a person in some hope and feeling like their life has meaning, and man, they will do all kinds of good things and prevent that kind of isolation that is so dangerous.
Mm. So stay involved, get out, volunteer, and one way to do that is to reach out to Senior Adult Services.
Absolutely. That'd be the key for us.
Excellent. Greg, if our listeners want to reach you, how might they do that?
They can call us at the office, which is 972-242-4464. They can ask for me, for Greg, or they can ask for Barbara Ball, B-A-L-L. She's my information coordinator, and she's the gatekeeper for all the services that we offer. So anything that you need, whether you're in our service area or not, give us a call. We'll see to it that the buck stops at our phone call.
Okay, and how about a website?
The website is www.senioradultservices.org.
Very good. Well, Greg, again, thank you for being here this morning. We appreciate your words and some good advice here. Sam, I'm going to turn it back to you in Atlanta.
Thank you, Brad. Greg, great information, and we certainly appreciate you being our guest today. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Joining us today in Atlanta, Georgia, we have three guests, two from Brighton Gardens Assisted Livings. We have Julie Vickers and Wayman Parks. Both are directors of community relations at that organization. Let me go also say that Brighton Gardens is part of the Sunrise Senior Living Communities. Our third guest today is Brian Baker. Brian is the Director of Community Resource for Cornerstone Medical. Good morning. How are
you? Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's begin with Wayman and Julie, and I'm going to start with you, Wayman. Why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourself, your background? How did you get to be with Sunrise, and why?
Good morning. First of all, my background is in human resources. I'm a graduate of Morehouse School of Medicine with a degree in business. Went into human resources, got married, had a couple of kids, and so I took a job as a regional human resource director and traveled quite a bit. Got divorced, got custody of my children, and needed to do something where I did not have to travel as much. And Sunrise was the absolute perfect opportunity for me. They started a division, a home care division in Atlanta in 2003. And so I helped to kind of launch that division and get it going. But I really was chopping at the bit to get into the actual assisted living communities where we could actually touch people, you know, feel families, help them navigate through their process. So after a couple of years of in the home care division, I transitioned over into the assisted living community, actually, as a matter of fact, into Brighton Gardens of Dunwoody, mm-hmm. which is where I've been since.
Great. Let's flip over to you, Julie. Won't you answer the same question?
Well, my background is property management, and I was with the same company, Post Properties, for 22 years. And in 1998, Sunrise opened a brand new community that was on my drive to work. So in 98, I decided I'm going to work for them someday, and mm-hmm. it only took me 12 years.
That's great. Why don't we ask the question, begin, tell us about Sunrise. Tell us about Brighton Gardens. What is it that you offer your residents? What makes it unique? Why do you enjoy doing what you do? I'll start with you, Wayman.
Yeah, Sunrise is actually the industry leader in providing assisted living and memory care services to seniors. Sunrise manages about over 400 communities worldwide, Puerto Rico, Canada, and even Germany. Brighton Gardens of Dunwoody is a part of the Sunrise family, and we offer both assisted living and memory care. We have a very unique community in that we provide services to senior adults who are totally, completely independent, up to people who need total and complete care. So that's a wide range in our spectrum that really makes our community unique. It really adds a different type of feel to the atmosphere. And it's really a place where there's people don't have to feel self-conscious that nobody else is like me. Mm-hmm. There's people all across the healthcare spectrum.
All in one location?
Yes, all in one location.
So do they interact with each other, or are they kind of separated?
They actually do. They we have an assisted living and the memory care community. So everybody in assisted living interacts with each other. And then people that need certain levels of care, we manage that throughout our individualized service plans.
You know, and that tags real well with what Greg, our guest in Dallas, was talking about, isolation. Speak to us about how do you avoid that? What do you do to engage the individuals?
Sure.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Either one of you, doesn't matter.
Oh, I was just going to say that even just coming down to a meal, we have breakfast, lunch, and dinner, snacks. I mean, that in itself is a social opportunity. So sometimes our newest residents will be a little bit hesitant to maybe join in the activities. But you know, we can start with a meal. And then they get to know people at their table, and then they are inviting each other, you know, come down and let's play bingo. We have 15 to 20 entertainers who come in every month just to our community, mm-hmm. and that's in, you know, in addition to the different things that we do. Wayman is actually famous for the monthly auction that we have, and we have people who come from all different communities to be a part of that. It's a lot of fun.
What is that event?
One of the things we do to encourage our residents to actually participate in activities, we have a huge activity program. We do anywhere from 6 to 8 individual activities every day. And so one of the things we do to encourage the participation is we give residents tickets or play money, whichever, for participation. They accumulate those tickets or money, and then once a month we have an auction. We actually go out and buy things that matter to them, things that are important to them, and they use their money to bid on the auction items.
What are those things that are important to your residents?
You would be amazed. Some of the highest bidding items are jewelry, uh-huh. watches, earrings, necklaces, but the things that bid for the most are gifts that they can get their grandkids, right. like Barbie dolls, you know, Ken dolls, things like that, because it helps encourage their independence to be able to say, look what grandma got you for your birthday.
Yeah, yeah. Julie, let me take that, what Wayman just spoke of about grandchildren coming into your residence to visit your members. What would they see? How would they feel walking in?
Is it kid friendly?
Yeah.
Absolutely. We one of our Sunrise signatures is to always have a toy box or an area. We have a lot of different areas at Brighton Gardens. We have country kitchens and space on every floor for families to gather. So they're not in the residence apartment necessarily, but it gives them more space, and there are a lot of televisions around so they can do that. Then, like I said, we have the toy box with crayons and just.
What about like a bounce house? You know how kids and older people like that?
A
those
what?
Jumpy houses.
Yeah, what's a bounce house?
Where the kid goes in there and jumps up and down.
I don't think we have. Do we have those, Wayman? I don't think we have.
Got to work on that.
I'm sure there'll be a liability issue there. That's probably
maybe.
Julie, obviously, you come out of the real estate arena, and you've been with Brighton Gardens now for a while. What is it that recharges your battery? What is it that keeps you going? Why do you do what you're doing now?
Really and truly, it is the Sunrise mission statement. It's why I wanted to work for Sunrise, not just any assisted living community, but Sunrise. Our mission statement is to champion the quality of life for all seniors, and that's whether they're our residents or not. So Wayman and I have the opportunity to be out in the community, and we do a lot of different things. We're very blessed at our community because there are two of us, so there's always someone inside to be able to help people who are looking, but also there's one of us most of the time who's outside working with the Alzheimer's Association mm-hmm. and working with the senior centers, a lot of work with the churches on how do we, residents who don't live with us, you know, how do we help them solve that isolation problem even when they're not our residents.
Yeah, that's great. Wayman, tell me, let's go and ask you the same thing. You've come out of the human resource arena. Why do you continue to do what you do? What excites you about Brighton Gardens?
Yeah, for me, it's actually the personal satisfaction of helping families navigate through the process. When the people initially get to us, they don't know what to do. There's usually some sort of crisis. There's something they've noticed that they don't really know have the answer to solve. And to be able to have an adult child or even a spouse to have peace of mind, to have personal respite, to get their life back and their health back and their strength back, that's really what kind of keeps me involved in what I do.
Wayman, to develop that, is there a story you could tell us that might emphasize what you just said?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. There's a gentleman that moved into our community some time ago. I initially started working with his son, and but what I didn't realize was in kind of the situation that his wife had been in. She had been the primary caregiver, little bitty, teeny lady, just cute as a button, but she was worn down. Worn out. I mean, just totally exhausted. You know, she wanted to do the right thing by her husband. And they were really skeptical about assisted living. But when we were able to show them that, you know, we could tailor our services to meet his needs, improve his quality of life, mm-hmm. which we did, once she saw that, she started back going to the salon, getting her hair done, getting her nails done. And next time I saw her, she looked fantastic. She's like she was about 10 years younger. And for me, you know, and she just hugged me. And every time she comes to community, she thinks I just fell out of the sky, which, you know, works for me. But that's the kind of thing that at the end of the day makes me say, wow, this is really why I do what I do.
You know, that point is so well taken. The burden and the pressure of taking care of a loved one wears on the caregiver. And many times they end up in a worse state, physical state, mental state than the person they were taking care of.
Absolutely, absolutely.
What's a misconception that a person who doesn't know about assisted living or your center specifically thinks, you know, and is kind of hesitant to go in there because in their mind they think it's one thing, but it's really something else?
Oh, Wayman and I were talking about that this morning, actually. I think it's that we can't offer the higher levels of care like a nursing home can. So, you know, a lot of people think, well, my loved one has this condition, that condition, and we just automatically have to go to a nursing home. But our environment is completely different from a nursing home, and we can offer those levels of care. You know, we like to say, and we're proud to say, we work with the frailest of the frail.
So let me expand that and make certain that I understand. We have an individual who may need skilled nursing care and maybe physical therapy. Are those things that you all can provide at Brighton Gardens?
Yeah, we actually have community partners such as home health, people like that that come in and do. We do follow the state of Georgia regulations, but we also follow Sunrise regulations. So as long as a person meets the ambulatory requirement for the state of Georgia, then every other aspect of their care, either we can do or our partners do, but once they decide to make us their home, they do not have to make another move.
Okay, that's great. That's great. That's what I was looking for. I'm going to ask both of you this question. I'll begin with you, Julie. For our listeners who might be in this stage of life, at my age, may be searching for a community for their parents or just don't know what to do at this stage, what piece of advice might you give them as they begin?
I would say start early and visit some communities. Have lunch there. Talk with a couple of the residents, but don't wait until you're in a crisis situation. You may not be moving. Wayman and I often have people that we work with for up to 2 years, and you may not be, you know, making a move for your loved one until that time, but you will know what you like, and you'll know where you, you know, get it narrowed down to two or three.
Yeah, that's great. Wayman, let me ask you the same question. For our listeners who are looking to move on at this stage, what piece of advice could you give them?
Well, I think probably the best piece of advice that I would give is, you know, make sure that you involve your loved one in the decision-making process. A lot of times adult children are, you know, are concerned about, do I let my mom know? Do I let my grandmother know I'm going to do this? But I think if people start earlier in the process, so everything is not crisis mode, my hair is not on fire, then they feel more part of the process. They feel more in control of the process. They actually buy into it better, which makes the overall, you know, process go a lot smoother.
That's great. That's great, great advice for our listeners. For those that might be interested in visiting Brighton Gardens or contacting you personally or Sunrise, how can they get a hold of either of you?
It's either Wayman Parks or Julie Vickers, and our telephone number is 770-730-9333, and we can also help with other Sunrise locations.
Is there a website that you access?
Yes, it's sunriseseniorliving.com.
All right. Well, that's great information. We're very thrilled to have you and Sunrise on our show, and we look forward to future conversations.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. Our third guest today in Atlanta is Brian Baker. Brian is the Director of Community Resource for Cornerstone Medical. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you.
Now, are you going to give us your radio voice?
Yes, sir. This is it.
There you go. That's what I was looking for. Brian, why don't you begin by telling us a little bit about yourself, your background, how did you come to be with Cornerstone, and we'll take it from there.
Sure. My background is, first of all, my first job was at the age of 2 years old. I started as my mother's assistant while she cleaned homes and was a private care provider. Also, I was right there at her side and got my first experience, hands-on experience with seniors, and fell in love with them ever since. I mean, it's been a long journey. I've seen, you know, so many different families in my lifetime. From different providers that she worked with, or different individuals that she worked with throughout the years, we saw so many different families, and we made ourselves a part of that group. And I started there, and I've always had this care. My first girlfriend was 80 years old.
you might be careful about saying that air, but
exactly.
That's okay.
Well, I'll preference it with this. Yeah. She was 80 years old, but she was my neighbor across the street, Mrs. Payne. I cut her grass, and I call her my girlfriend, but just because she was really my grandmother, or like a grandmother to me, really close knit. I cut her grass every day. She fed me every day. You know, every day I went to school, she was out waiting for me to get on the bus, for me. So it was just an amazing story. But my background is in ministry. I attended the University of Biblical Studies. I'm from Oklahoma, mm-hmm. Tulsa, Oklahoma, Oral Roberts University. Those of you may know that region. But I started back in 1989 with Baxter Travenol. The Caremark group, we provided enteral feeding and mm-hmm. intravenous mm-hmm. help to individuals inside the home. And I discovered something. I used to travel all over the state of Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Texas to visit our patients. So I really got a hands-on approach with the patients. I got to deal with them hands-on. And this amazing story happened to me. I met a young man. Call him young, but he was probably about 75 years old. Sigamunda Luza. I walked into his home one day, and I was there to deliver morphine cassettes to him. He was dying of cancer, and he answered the door, and the door swung open, and he says, "Hello, young man." And I said, "Hello, I'm here to see Sigamundo Luza." And he says, "Well, here he is, right in your face." And I said, "You're the person that I was told, you're the person that told that I was told that was in." Just dire straits, you're in pain. And he says, "Yes, that's me. I'm that person." And I said, I don't understand. So he said, "Sit down, young man, sit down on my sofa." So I sat down, and he says, "Let me tell you a story." I said, "Are you in pain?" He said, "Absolutely." And I said, "Well, tell me, how are you able to be so joy-filled, and what is this all about?" And he says, "Well, sit down." And so by that time, I started to tear up, and he was telling me the story about his life. And he says, "You know what, I met a man that changed my life forever." And I'm going, "You met a man? Who in the world are you talking about?" And he says, he said, "I met the Lord Jesus Christ." And I said, "Oh, my God." I said, "I need what you have." You know, I said, tell me more. What's going on? And how did you come to this? How are you able to deal with the pain?" And he says, "Well, it's all within my vision." You know, he says, I suffer with him in mind. And by that time, he had me crying, and I'm just going forth, and I'm just like, and so this overwhelming peace come over me, and I'm just sitting there in the face of this man. And by that time, I'm just in love with him. We had a great relationship up until the time of his death. And from that point on, I went to seminary and just began to see the real need in the community, seeing that there is a need for the senior community in particular. And just looking at the overall plan of my life and seeing how all these things, these changes have come to be. So I hope that, does that answer the question, by the way?
I think that more than answers the question, and I'm about ready to stop the broadcast now. That's a great story, Brian. I very much appreciate that. Won't you tell us a little bit about Cornerstone Medical, what it is that you and your organization brings to the seniors, and how do you do so?
All right. Well, we start by reaching out to local hospitals and your local physicians. We work with them directly. We work with the physicians. We work with the social workers, case management social services department in most hospitals. We also work with physicians in the local community. And what we do is try and bridge the gap. The physicians, they see the need most of all, and so also in the hospital patients. As a last resort, they enter into the hospital, and when they are there, the physician may see a need where the patient may need home oxygen. Mm-hmm. They may need some type of equipment that will better aid their home environment. And so what we do is we work with the physicians. They will write an order based on what the need is, and we will, at that point, fulfill that need in the patient's home. And everything from hospital beds, wheelchairs, things like bedside commodes, shower aids, mm-hmm. and just a variety of crutches. We can go into very ambulatory items and all.
Now, to get these items, do these items have to be ordered by a physician, or could an individual simply call and say, hey, I need a wheelchair? How do you go about that?
They will have to contact their physician most of the time, and especially if there's insurance, if they're Medicare. Okay. It's best to go through your primary care physician. If you're in the hospital, obviously your social services department will be glad to aid you with that type of support.
Okay, let's take that a step further, though. But if the individual chooses to pay privately for these items, then they can do so without getting a doctor's order. Is that true?
Not all things. Certain things like oxygen have to be that's a prescribed item by a physician. Certain breathing aids, whether they need a nebulizer, with some type of solution where they would use a breathing treatment on an ongoing basis. Most of about 50-50 of the items are prescribed by physicians. Of course, you can look in your local Walgreens or drugstore, and you'll see certain items, walk aids, that are not prescribed by a physician.
Your card speaks of Cornerstone Medical being the home oxygen specialist. For our listeners, tell us why that's true. It seems to me on the surface, I know this is not true, but it seemed on the surface that oxygen is oxygen no matter how it comes to you. So tell us what makes Cornerstone unique.
Well, the thing that makes Cornerstone unique, we have a variety of delivery methods for home oxygen. And as you all said, the senior community is very, very active this day and time. So we're trying to keep them mobile and active and healthy. So Cornerstone has a variety of delivery items, such as battery-operated concentrators, mm-hmm. where they at one time were only designated for the home. We have those items that will now work inside of your automobile. They are battery-operated, so that you can take them. We have a small, I think it's about a 5-pound unit, that will strap to the waist of a jogger or someone who loves to walk, and that item will deliver, that particular unit will deliver oxygen at a certain rate for a certain period of time. It works by battery. We also have non-mechanical delivery items, which work simply by compressed gas, and also we have what's called liquid oxygen. It is also a different form of oxygen, but it is also a very lightweight unit, about 4 pounds, and it will last the patient for up to about 12 hours of ongoing use in and out of the community.
Now, that's interesting. Let's clarify and develop that. In my mind, when I speak or when I envision someone being on oxygen continuous, they're stuck at home with a big green oxygen cylinder and a tube, and they can only go where they can move that big contraption. But what you just spoke of allows them freedom. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And out in the community, if they're using these devices, as you spoke of, how much freedom do they have?
Well, what I love, I mean, it's just so amazing to see the freedom. I've witnessed so many. Well, for example, if you have the typical E-tank, which is about a 3-foot cylinder, typically on a two-wheeled cart, that cylinder is the what you would typically receive going discharging from your local hospital. Mm-hmm. That would be delivered to you. You take that unit home with you, and once you leave the hospital, we would dispatch a technician to meet you at your home. We'll set up a concentrator in your home and also give you what's called backup cylinders. Mm-hmm. So you're going to start with something like that. Unless your physician requests on the prescription, he has to request what's called a lightweight portable system. At that point, we can take you through the list of items that we have that are different from just that typical system. If you're in a wheelchair and you have that two-wheel cart behind you, or you're on a walker, or you're using a walker, it's kind of hard to manage both of those items at the same time. So that's where the ambulatory systems come into play. And a lot of physicians don't know, a lot of patients don't know. You've probably seen commercials on television, and it's still hard to understand that your physician has to be involved even with that process.
Okay. All right. That's great for our listeners. Tell us, I know you briefly mentioned, besides the oxygen, what are some of the other products and services that Cornerstone brings?
Beside the oxygen, we also provide nebulizers and also the solutions for some of our patients. For Medicare patients in particular, we have the albuterol and what's also known as Duaneb. It's a dual solution for typically your asthmatic or just patients with COPD and various types of lungs, breathing challenges. So we also have, like I said, your wheelchairs, hospital beds. We try and do, again, is we transfer or transform the home into a the hospital into a miniature, or excuse me, once a patient leaves the hospital, we're trying to get the patient home as comfortable as possible and to avoid this readmit process. We're trying to get and network with certain home health companies, private care companies, and various community groups that are providing this home service to patients, and we're trying to make that as comfortable and that transition as easy as possible.
Okay. How do you stay on top of like the latest technology and the latest equipment?
Well, we attend so many shows. We travel to Las Vegas every year. Right here in Atlanta, Georgia, there's MedTrade. There are so many different places that, you know, that are accessible to us as providers. We actually have to go and stay abreast to the latest technologies and look and see what's coming, because things are changing so quickly. We want to make sure that we're providing the best and the most recent technologies for our patients.
Yeah. Brian, obviously, with your background, your education, there's something about working with seniors in the home that that you find rewarding, and I think you spoke of that with a story, but why don't you briefly tell us what it is that excites you as you go out to visit these individuals?
Well, the most exciting thing is, and I'll tell you a quick story. We were talking college at the opening of this broadcast, and I have a one-year-old little girl. I also have a 19-year-old first-year college freshman.
You haven't shed any tears over that, have you?
Well, stay with me.
You will. It's contagious.
You know, the most rewarding part is he is a 6'4", 210-pound young man. He is full ride scholarship. I mean, I do tear up every time I look at his life and the transitions that he's made throughout that. So it's a very rewarding time. So I, you know, I'm working the tear part, you know, but I'm also overflowed with joy, and it's a great balance. And also this year, just recently relocated my mother and my dad here to Atlanta, Georgia, along with my disabled brother who's suffering from Lou Gehrig's disease. And those challenges, you know, when I look at the reward, I have the reward right in my own household. You know, I see my parents aging, and I flew one way to Tulsa, Oklahoma, rented a truck, loaded the truck, drove for 22 hours to relocate them here just a few weeks back. And during that time, it was a very challenging time, but I saw the need, you know, and the most rewarding things that I see that we're coming together as a family. You know, whenever there's a change, whenever there is some type of crisis in the family, I see this day in and day out. I see that families learn that they have to come together where they may have been divided and separated for a variety of reasons. Mm-hmm. When something major changes, when a major change happens, it pulls them together, and it should. And so that's one of the most rewarding things for me, is just to see, even in my own life, when I have children, young lady, a young baby, and a college student, and two other children in between those, that gap, you know, I'm looking at my whole life and I'm saying it's going to take a lot of different components to make this thing work. And so that's what I see in the community today. It takes every component. You know, a grandparent is an amazing word to me, because it also has, you know, parent, which is an amazing responsibility, but also in the front of that has the word grand. And grand is an amazing thing because grand is something that's big. It's huge. It speaks, you know, in this unspoken way. So my granddaughter, even yesterday after spending time with my mother, when she came home, my wife said, there's something different about her. You know, she acts like there's a new countenance upon her. And I said, well, you know, to myself, I said, something has happened to her that she received something from her grandparent outside of her biological parents that actually gave her an additional boost of support. And so I think it's always key that we give back that same support, whether it was your biological grandparent or whether it was just a friend or a neighbor across the street, that you constantly see the need to give back to the community, give back to the senior community in particular, because they have planted seeds in us that we're not aware of.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's great. Well, for those then that have been energized and charged up with your story, tell us what piece of advice, as they begin this and they have elderly parents and they know they have needs for equipment or needs for oxygen, whatever it may be, what piece of advice could you give them as they start that search?
First advice would be to contact your local physician. He or she will be able to direct you, or someone, his office staff should be able to direct you with that initial need. And I love to play that part as a community resource person. I love to just bridge the gap. I'm working with hospice companies. I'm working with care providers. But start with any medical professional and ask them for help. If you have a primary care physician, again, that's the first step. If your local hospital, you can call and ask for the social services department and ask for a social worker or a case manager, and they'll be glad to help you also with that step.
That's great. Thanks, Brian. I appreciate it. For our listening audience who might want to call Cornerstone, reach out to you and speak with you, how can they contact you?
You can contact me by email. My email address is changemefirst@gmail.com. That's changemefirst at G, the letter G, mail, mail.com. And or you can call me directly at 770-361-8333.
We appreciate it. Thank you, Brian. That's great information. And for our listeners, that's our broadcast for today. We want to thank our guests. Thank you for being with us, for joining us. We thank you for listening. And as we close, we want to remind you that if you wish to listen to a rebroadcast of this, you can do so at eugeriaradio.com. And in closing, if the youth of our nation is its greatest national resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you. Have a great day.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.